I'm Sybil McGuire for Around the Triangle, and on the phone with us today is Graham Kerr. Graham Kerr has an honorary doctorate in culinary nutrition from Johnson & Wales University, Rhode Island. In 2000, he was awarded an honorary membership to the American Dietetic Association and honorary membership to the Food and Culinary Professionals, a dietetic practice group of the ADA. And he was inducted into the American Culinary Federation Hall of Fame in 1999. He's a James Beard Foundation Award winner in 1997, and he served on the American Dietetic Association Foundation's ConAgra Foundation Home Food Safety Expert Panel. It consists of 8 leaders in the food safety arena. He's honored and privileged to provide strategic counsel for the American Dietetic Association's National Public Education Initiative Communication Food Safety at Home. And you may remember him as the Galloping Gourmet. He was also in several different television programs, including Entertaining with Care, The Galloping Gourmet, Take Care, A Bite with Care, Simply Marvelous, The Graham Kerr Show, Graham Kerr's Kitchen, The Best of Kerr, Swiftly Seasoned with Graham Kerr, and Do Yourself a Flavor, 360 news subjects on fresh fruit and vegetables for the National Cancer Institute, which are now available on his website, GrahamKerr.com. Remember the Galloping Gourmet? I do. I remember the Galloping Gourmet very, very well because it was one of the few things that my mother and I had in common when I was a nasty, fractious teenager. We absolutely loved that show, Graham. And it's Graham Kerr. And we were just discussing whether it was Kerr, or as we have the drugstore here, Carr. And you explained where the pronunciations come from to me, which was very instructive. You want to tell everyone?
Well, I'm a border Scot, which means that I lived in constant fights with the English.
Not you personally.
Yeah, well, no, not personally, but I mean, this is so far away. Matter of fact, my family motto was late, but in earnest. And apparently what had happened, we turned up late for a rather large battle, and we were screaming, "Where are they? Where are they?" And they said, "They're all dead." I said, "Oh, what a shame, we're late." You know? And I think we were really hiding behind a large boulder until the people had done the dirty work, and then we arrived. But we are Kerrs, K-E-R-R, Scots, and then the Carrs are British, or English, if you will. And the Kerrs are usually Irish.
Yes, my grandmother, yeah, you said was probably Irish. And you now live in Mount Vernon, Washington.
Yes, we do.
And with your wife, and you're now a naturalized U.S. citizen, and we're glad to know that.
Yes, and I am running for public office.
Are you?
Yes, and I only need one vote, and which is really Trina's agreement. I'm running for citizen.
Oh, you're running for citizen.
I think it's really about time that we all started to run for something. And if we all ran for citizen, our politicians wouldn't have to be so of.
or overextended, because apparently they're having a little problem.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Sure. what we really want to talk about is now your show back in the day. Oh, it was so much fun to watch because, well, you were a little wicked. I mean, you enjoyed not only tippling in the food, but tippling while you were cooking. And there was just so much wonderful butter involved. You kind of took the mystery out of fine gourmet cooking for a lot of people, along with Julia Child. And you want to tell folks, you did a lot more than just the Galloping Gourmet. You did a lot of cooking programs. But at some point, you started to look at what you were putting in the food as well, did you not?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, it's reasonable that at a certain age, you're sort of indestructible, and you're still whizzing through the 20s and the early 30s, and life has just got this big, bold, open highway in front of you. And you don't notice signs which says slow down, cliff ahead, or that sort of thing. You just, it just puts your foot to the floor and go for it, and which is what we were doing. Having a wonderful time, traveled around the world 28 times, visited the finest possible restaurants, ate in sometimes 8 different restaurants in one day, which we did once in Paris, and being welcomed by everybody, because we had an audience of about 200 million people around the world. And so from a PR point of view, from a restaurant point of view, I mean, we were an absolute godsend. And so when you take that and then you keep on doing it and then finally get hit by a vegetable truck, which is what happened to us on the US 101 back in 1970. And I was partially paralyzed. Trina was very badly traumatized by this one. Actually had lung operation eventually as a result of it. And this marvelous Scottish doctor said, what you need to do is buy yourself a boat and go for a long ocean voyage and pull some lines and catch a balance. I think you'll be fine. And which actually turned out to be true.
He recommended a vacation.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, you know, we did 24,000 miles at sea. And during that time, we got incredibly fit and changed the way we ate. And that was the sort of the first turn-on signal for me. The second one was Trina having a stroke and a heart attack and diabetes and hypertension and, wow, all of which is sort of genetic plus the fact that we had eaten so unwisely for so long. And so it became a question of how now there's the cliff.
Right.
So and just the slow down sign. So is this where we make the U-turn?
And just for listeners, Trina is your wife. And I had a similar wake up call with my father. He had the same type of health issues, high blood pressure and diabetes and heart disease.
Yes. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it does. It does.
Syndrome X.
It's yes. It's a wake up call. It makes you say, okay, maybe while these things are wonderful and delicious, maybe I need to, while still eating delicious food, maybe I need to look at how I need to create it.
You know, delicious food is much more in the mouth of the eater than it is that we like to think of it, because we like to think of delicious food as the things that restaurants turn out for us. But really delicious food for an individual is the sum of one's experiences and pleasures over years. And those sort of things add up so that we can say, yes, I like prunes or plums, if you will, and I like pork and I like applesauce and these sort of things. And when we see a restaurant menu which has those things in common with our personal preferences, we order it and it's delicious because it fits in with our understanding, our right brain memory of food. So what I did with Trina, and which I propose for many people now, is that why don't we just explore what your personal food preferences are? And I have a tool to do this on my website, which is called grahamcare.com. It's called the Food Preference Sheet, and you can actually click on that. It's completely free. And by the way, there's no advertising, and there's nothing to be sold. It's just a straight service to people who want to have a go.
grahamcare.com.
And the idea, Sybil, is that a person can get in touch with their senses, the things that they love in taste, aroma, color, and texture. The whole list is broken up into those four sectors, and you can actually go through and get what is almost like an MRI of your mind with regard to food. And the big secret on this one is, depending upon what you're trying to achieve, if you've got a high cholesterol and you want to reduce cholesterol and saturated fat, for example, you can go down that list, and you know pretty well the sort of things that you've got to avoid. So you look at those, and you reduce the quantity that you eat of that particular thing, and then you add onto that the thing that you love to eat. And, you know, for example, if you took ice cream, and you had a favorite ice cream, and you had one of those small cartons of that, and it's about 280, 300 calories, you could take only half that amount and put a peach half with it, for example, because you love peaches. And that would give you some fruit at the same time as the ice cream, reduce the risk factor and increase your personal pleasure of the dessert that you'd have. We had about 10 ounces of meat and meat products in a typical day per person in the family. And we reduce that to 4 ounces, which sounds a little crucial, but
that's very good.
But we saved $1,000 a year by doing that. Then we had to take 500 of those savings and put that back into the diet in terms of vegetables. Because when you cut the meat back that far, you're going to have more vegetables on the plate. So that was a benefit. Then we still had $500 over. So what we decided to do in a mad moment was, let's find a couple of kids somewhere that we can support out of what used to do us harm. That could be a healing for them. And so we did. We found one in Brazil, in a favela in Brazil, and the other one in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. And whilst at the same time, it was an enormous benefit to us.
That's a wonderful, wonderful way of looking at it. You've managed to take $500 that may or may not have been killing you and save someone with it.
Yeah. And when you now, we've been doing this 26 years now, so we've shifted about $41,000 out of our food budget into other people's lives. And that's, I don't know for sure because I don't have a comparison, but I don't think that I had what it takes to be that disciplined in the changes we made had it not been for the compassionate connection that we had with these kids. I think, and I really, really, really think that that tension line between giving out of your personal life to another personal life is so strong and so American in style that I think it can defeat the thing that is killing us at the moment, which is our still American style of opportunism. You know, we're not really capitalists or socialists. We're opportunists. We came to the land of opportunity, and we took every opportunity there was to advance into the American dream, and we did it. But in doing it, we have simply oversold to each other to the extent which we're actually doing each other harm nowadays.
You may know him as the Galloping Gourmet. We're speaking with Graham Kerr about health and nutrition. And I love the taking the money that you used to use eating too much meat and protein and giving it to someone to improve their lives. That's a great idea. That's a wonderful way to motivate people. Are there any tips that you can give people practically when it comes to preparing gourmet food that they may not have considered, perhaps like roasting vegetables to give them more flavor?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because I've just finished a book which will be out in February. The Penguin Group are publishing it, and it's called Growing at the Speed of Life.
Growing at the Speed of Life, and it'll be Penguin, and that'll be out in February. Wonderful, in time for my birthday.
February 25th. Maybe we can chat again about that time.
Okay, good.
But it's all about propagating seed in one's own backyard and watching little plants grow, which I did for the very first time. This is the story of my first year as a kitchen gardener. And pulling them up and cooking them and experiencing something completely different. I have never, ever had vegetables that tasted so good. And so I think if you grow your own, that's the first step. But there, I think the big thing to know is that mostly vegetables do better by steaming than by boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And a good steamer is a very wise investment to take. I also really believe that you can put some fresh herbs in the water in which you're using for steaming and get a subtle perfume from those herbs into the vegetables themselves. It's really quite interesting, especially if you snip a few fresh herbs on the top when you put it out there. And maybe little things like a spice like nutmeg or cardamom on root vegetables such as parsnips and carrots. Just give an extra depth to the vegetable in a really special way.
You save you on the salt and the butter.
Yeah. Oh well. You see, here we go. butter, without question, is a wonderful thing to add to vegetables.
Oh, of course. But we needn't drench things in butter.
Well, and there's the problem. It doesn't take much to reach the maximum amount of saturated fat that we need in one day. And 2 ounces of butter will do it. And when you think of just 2 ounces, that's it for the whole day for all saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
No meat, nothing else, no cheese, no cream, no ice cream, nothing else but just 2 ounces of butter.
I'm afraid that's my downfall, the cheese is in the butter and the,
You see, and cheese is actually so much better because you can have more of that and with less saturated fat there, especially finely grated Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. And and that helps you cut back on salt as well because Parmesan has such a lovely salty flavor.
Lovely, lovely. And you know that we're turning a new corner in the States now where we're going to go for this somewhat draconian amount of sodium in a day, which is going to be 1,500 milligrams. And when you think that many Americans now eat 4,500 milligrams of sodium a day, and the drop, the sudden drop off the edge that is being required, I really don't know how it's going to go down. I think a lot of food manufacturers put enough sodium in to please our sense of sodium taste, salt taste. And if they are going to be required by law to reduce that, I think their sales will suffer hugely. I really don't know how it's going to be handled, but there we are.
It's going to be difficult for people who manufacture food and produce it to make it as tasty and give it the mouthfeel that we've come to expect. I just look at the sodium in a can of soup.
Let me go back just quickly for one other thing, the butter issue. What Trina and I have been doing for the last few years is spraying on the wouldn't believe it isn't butter that you can buy, you know, where they have all the margarines and things. It's a little yellow bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it does let the vegetables glisten. It does give a general flavor of butter. And it is much less saturated, you know, because of that. And I think that's a wise solution if one's looking for wisdom.
And for cooking, too, I've done the replace with a little bit of olive oil and then add just possibly a quarter of the butter that I would have and use olive oil to extend it. And as long as you have the flavor of butter, you're doing very well. Smart Balance is also another replacement.
You know, several chefs at a recent blind tasting completely mistook wouldn't believe it isn't butter for butter. So the actual finished flavor on a vegetable is hard to discern between butter and this other sprayed on stuff.
People need to give these things a chance. We've just got to turn them around and get them to give it a chance. Are there any other tips that you'd like to give folks for eating more healthily?
I have moved off ice cream. We've moved off ice cream altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that, there is a number of manufacturers today are putting out the small tubs of yogurt, and one of them is Activa. They're well done. They're about 80 calories for a small quantity, and mostly, I think the best tip I could ever give anybody is think of this as portion sizes. Portion sizes nowadays have become commercially huge. And they're for commercial reasons, to give one the impression that you're getting a better buy because you're buying something larger. And this isn't true. I think that we should be hunting out every means by which we can have an automatically smaller portion. And these small portions of as a dessert are wonderful. And we take freshly chopped nuts and stir those into this yogurt. And it has a good textural difference to it. And it's quite delicious. And And if you use a tiny spoon, you can dip into it about 12 times.
So yeah, use one of those tiny little sorbet spoons for the palate cleanser.
Yeah, that's right. The smaller the spoon, and then you have to pucker up in order to eat it.
And I love Greek yogurt with frozen green grapes in it. That's another wonderful tip with some stevia, that wonderful sweet leaf sweetener.
That's right, or the agave blue.
Oh, agave. Someone has told me agave syrup is something that I need to try.
Yeah, well, you haven't tried that yet.
Not yet, no.
Oh, good. Well, yes, I really suggest that. And I think it transcends stevia, definitely.
I love getting good cooking tips.
And it works well from a culinary point of view. You know, things like Splenda don't work very well from a blend, from a baking point of view.
Well, and not only that, from what I understand, there are studies that say some of the artificial sweeteners can give people who are prone to diabetic tendencies the same type of insulin response.
I have not seen what I would call scientifically plausible studies.
No, I haven't either. But the jury is out.
I think we have to be careful about that. I refuse to accept a study or any reference to it until I've actually read the study, and I've read nearly 700 studies so far. And by the time you get to the end of it with all the ifs and buts and maybes, you can realize that if you extract from a study a sort of newsworthy statement, it's almost always wrong.
Ah. So we need to be careful. The jury's still out on that one. And you are seriously educating yourself about dietary health. You're not just speaking from a home cook or even a gourmet cook perspective. You have really educated yourself. So if people want to get more tips from someone you may know, like I did, as the Galloping Gourmet, Graham Kerr. His website is grahamkerr.com, grahamkerr.com. And I want to thank you so much for speaking with us today. I really look forward to talking to you again in February when your book comes out.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for putting up with me.
Oh, no, it was an absolute delight. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Thanks again, Graham.
God bless.
I'm Sybil McGuire for Around the Triangle.